And we're going to hear God's word from John's Gospel, chapter 13. David's going to read to us today.
Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet, to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." And from verse 31. As soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will soon give glory to the Son. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer, and as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I am going. So, now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Simon Peter asked, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "You can't go with me now, but you will follow me later." "But why can't I come now, Lord?" he asked. "I'm ready to die for you." Jesus answered, "Die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even knew me." Here ends God's word. Thanks be to him for his message.
Thank you, David. Let's pray. Father, we praise you today. Lord, you speak to us. You call us together. Lord, we want our ears to be open now to hear what you've got to say. So we pray you would help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right, well, I've got my towels here, the symbol of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I think we could do with one or two more up-to-date and more obvious things here, because it's not our custom, is it, to wash feet? I mean, that's what they did in those days, or to be more precise, that's what the slaves did in those days. The disciples, no doubt, thought it was beneath them, but it was expected to be somebody's job to wash the feet. That's why Jesus found that Peter objected so much. Peter saw Jesus as his master. Masters do not wash the feet of their servants. So that was the illustration that was right for those days. So I've been trying to think of an illustration for today. So I've got one for you today. So I'm going to need a bit of help. In the cupboard around the back there are a couple of Hoovers. Would somebody like to bring them in, please? Could somebody bring in the Hoovers? Please make sure you bolt it as well, because the bolt at the top is to stop the kids from getting in. So I've done another quick risk assessment here. Let's bring out the Hoovers, because this is kind of what we do, isn't it? I mean, we don't wash people's feet, but we do Hoover the place. And let's think about, you know, how Jesus might do this if he was doing it today. Thank you. Right, actually, neither of them are Hoovers. One's a Dyson, one's a Henry. Okay. Yeah, we got rid of the other Hoover because it was just gathering dust. But
get the
actually, there's a little bit there. Should we Hoover that up before we continue? We might as well do a real illustration here. Let's Hoover it. Here we go. What did you do in church on Sunday morning? Well, it's like this. Thank you. Are you okay to do this?
You don't
think this is beneath you? I mean, you don't think that this is something that a slave should do? Or
no, I'm good at cleaning toilets.
Okay, we won't get into cleaning toilets as an application. Oh, this is good. Oh, fantastic. Great, thank you. Yeah, we can leave that there, I think. Could you just leave the other one there? Thank you. I'm going to use them later on. Oops. Oh, careful. Oh, risk assessments, right. Okay, are you okay? Right, okay, so we've got the towels, we've got the Hoovers, we could come up with other things. What's the job that when you were a kid you didn't want to do? Actually, what's the job that you don't want to do now? We've had one member of the church say that she's happy to clean toilets, so if you're not happy to do it, there are... No, didn't mean that. What we have here is the family around the meal table. There isn't a reference to family in the Bible reading, but it's family that's going on. This is the children of the Father. This is God's children gathering together to eat together, and surprise, surprise, doing it pretty badly, because nobody wants to do the menial jobs. And Jesus has a lot to say about this. Jesus would sum up what he came to do as saying that he came not to be served, but to serve. And if we are going to be his followers, then that's how it's going to be for us as well. Jesus says that the disciple is not above the master. Sorry, the servant is not above the master. Jesus says, I'm doing this for you today. I'm deliberately stooping down and I'm washing your feet to tell you how it is to be within my family. So I don't know what you thought you were going to be told to do when you came to church today, what it means to be part of the family, but part of being a family is that the yucky, menial jobs need to be done. And none of us should ever think that we're too big for them. Not just because they need to be done, but because Jesus didn't think that he was too big for them. Yes, he says to them, I am your teacher, I am your Lord, I am your master. It's absolutely right, you should call me these things. But I've done you this to set you an example. The word that Jesus uses when he talks about an example, it's actually a word that means pattern. Anybody here do Airfix? I was never into it when I was a kid. Anybody did that?
No.
One or two of us, right? I mean, I couldn't fathom myself, but the idea is that you get all these bits of kit and you've got to put them together and you get a pattern to put them together. Anybody here ever put up IKEA furniture?
No.
Yeah?
I leave that to Sarah.
Okay. Did anybody attempt to do it without using the pattern? Oh, we're all yeah, okay, I get the joke. Right. When you are wanting to do something, you follow the pattern, and if you try and do it without the pattern, you can get into trouble. I usually find I've misunderstood part of the pattern anyway, but I try my best to do it. Jesus says, I've given you a pattern. I've given you a picture of what it means to be part of my family. And I want you to remember this picture all of the time. The picture that I am giving you is of me stooping down and washing my disciples' feet. And the disciples felt awkward, just as some of us here this morning felt awkward when I suggested that you come up to the front and have your feet washed. It's an awkward thing to do. It's an embarrassing thing to do. And in that culture where it was the role of the slave, it felt really, really awkward indeed for them. But Jesus says, I've set you a pattern. I've given you what it looks like. And he says, now you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So Jesus says, I'm not giving you this just to give you a vague illustration for something. I'm telling you where the road to blessing lies. You want to be blessed in your life? You want God to pour out his blessing upon you? I hope you do, because God's got so much to give you. And Jesus says you will be blessed. Well, Jesus says the way to blessing is to do the stuff that other people think is the role of the servant. Now, Jesus didn't spend a load of his life doing big demonstrations like this. In fact, as far as I know, this was the only time he did it quite like this. Normally, when Jesus did something for people, he did what he told us to do. He kept it very quiet. Jesus says, when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't make a show of doing stuff. Don't make a show of saying, well, look, aren't I great? I'm prepared to do all the rubbish jobs around here. Don't do that. But there's a hint of that later on in this passage, because when Judas goes out, one of the things that the disciples think might be going on is that Jesus has told him to give him something for the poor. It's the way Jesus would act. If we're going to help somebody, I don't make a fuss about it, because I'm doing it for God. I'm not doing it to impress people. But at this moment, just as he is about to die, just as he's about to go to the cross, just as the whole story of his life is coming to its huge climax, Jesus says to his disciples, this is what I want you to see. This is what I want imprinted upon your memory. And Peter, despite his objections, has to be able to listen to what Jesus is saying. I think there's a really sort of interesting balance here, because different ones of us get tempted in different ways. For some of us, perhaps, I'm not saying all of us are in these two camps, but for some of us, we are by nature doers. We want to get things done. We see Jesus doing this and we say, yep, that's what we should be doing. And we have this desire to get on and serve and to be Christ-like. Some of us, however, relate more to the words that Jesus spoke to Martha when she was fussing and doing a load of work and trying to stop Mary from sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him. The Christian life is about both of these. It is about taking time to listen to what Jesus has to say. That's what Peter had to do here. He didn't just need to have his feet washed. He had to listen. He had to tune in to what Jesus was saying to him. But it's not just about listening, it's also about doing. It's also about following the pattern that Jesus set for us. So whichever one of those we tend to ignore, whichever one of those perhaps is the thing that you tend to ignore, maybe that's the thing that Jesus wants you to work on. If you're the sort of person who loves spending hours upon hours alone with Jesus, maybe you need to do more hoovering. And if you're the sort of person who loves to do the hoovering, maybe you need to spend more time being alone with Jesus and listening to what he has to say. Because the family works best when people are willing to spend time doing both. Last week, I started to introduce you to our two new partner missionaries. We saw the video from Catherine last week. If you didn't see it, it is on the BMS website, so do have a look. But our other missionary whose name's gone straight out of my head, Ashley. I was thinking Kaylee. I knew that was wrong. She's been writing some brilliant blogs on the BMS website recently, and I really would recommend Ashley Gibb, her name is, find her on the BMS website and take a look at the stuff that she's writing for us. She's one of our partner missionaries. And she'd written about the destructiveness of busyness and how it can destroy the relationship we have with our Creator. And she writes about how she has been learning. Now she's thousands of miles away from home, to take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And she says, "My gosh, it has blown my mind. I feel such a sense of peace when he speaks the little whispers over me. And on some days, it's much louder." And then she uses this fantastic phrase. She says, "Jesus calls us to living room intimacy." I don't think I've ever heard that phrase. Has anybody heard that phrase before? It's not a phrase I'm familiar with. Let me repeat it. Jesus calls us to living room intimacy. He calls us to be family together, sitting down and talking. And I love that picture, because that picture gives me both a sense of people sitting down together and talking to one another, but it also gives me the sense of the jobs that need to be done. And she writes, where I pick it up from. My life has represented that of Martha, the always busy one. And now my body and soul wish for a piece of Mary. The practical stuff, the serving that we are called to do, comes from listening to Jesus. It says at the start of John chapter 13, in fact, I'll just read it out so I get it right. It says that Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That phrase, "he loved them to the end," can be read two ways. It can mean that he loved them right up to the end of his life. It can mean that even though all this stuff was happening to him, all the sufferings he went through, right up to the point where he died, he never stopped loving his disciples. He never got so distressed by what was going on for him that he stopped loving others. Or it could mean, and this is what I think it probably means, it could mean he loved them as far as love could possibly go. That's what the foot washing, I think, is meant to symbolize. I love you so much that even though I'm your Lord and Master, I come to you as a servant. I want you to know my utter love for you. So this is a message about doing the practical stuff, doing the demeaning stuff. But it's not just a message that says, "Thou shalt go and do it." If we were to take that as the message, we've missed the point. The point is that we are to do these things because we have encountered the love of Jesus. We have encountered his amazing love for us. Jesus loves his Father. Jesus knows his Father. Jesus knows that he has come from the Father. He knows that no matter what happens, he is utterly secure within his Father's love. He can become a servant. He can go to the cross. He can do whatever it takes, knowing that nothing can remove him from the eternal embrace of the Father. And Jesus says, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If we learn what it means to sit in the or be in the embrace of God. That song we sang earlier, I love that song. Hold me close, let your arms surround me, bring me near, draw me to your side. That's roughly what Jesus is trying to do for Peter here. He's saying to Peter, Peter, I really want you to know that I love you. I really want you to know where my heart is for you. And I want you to be so secure within that love that you can go and wash people's feet without you thinking it's demeaning you, because you can't be demeaned, because you are safe in the love that you have for me. And Jesus says to Peter, I've got to wash you. I've got to clean you up. Now, Jesus is very precise in what he says to Peter here. He says to Peter, Peter, you are clean. You've had the bath. And for those of us who've been baptized, guys, you've had the bath. You're clean. But there are still some things that Jesus needs to wash. And the thing that Jesus needed to wash away from Peter was this sense that there were some jobs that he could leave to others to do. That there were some jobs that he was too superior for. And Jesus says to Peter, Peter, let me deal with that. That's what I want to do for you. So today, well, you can all fight over the Hoover after the service to do the cleaning. But more importantly than that, we can learn what it means today to be embraced by the love of Jesus. We can learn what it means to be so embraced that we want to give that love away. Here's what Ashley says. I have felt his love like never before, and I want to pour that love on everyone I cross paths with. I'm just overcome, and I want more of it. Oh, brothers and sisters, there's a message for us today. There's a message for us as family. That here is somebody we've just partnered with as a missionary saying to us, I'm learning what it means to be overwhelmed by that love. Oh, may we be overwhelmed. Let's pray for the church weekend, those of us who are going away next weekend, that it will be such an amazing experience of God's love for us. Okay, two things to quickly say. The first thing is, please, as we're talking about love today, understand that this love will always be challenged. We learn very early on in this Bible reading that Judas is about to do the dirty on Jesus. And it says, in the bit that we skipped, so the reading wouldn't be too long, it says that Jesus was deeply troubled. That word can translate in other ways, but one of the words that it can translate at is anxious. Jesus was anxious because he knew what was coming. Exactly. He didn't sort of bounce up to the cross thinking, hey, this is great. We know the story of Gethsemane from the other Gospels, but John puts Jesus' anxiety here and in one or two other places. Jesus is saying, I'm anxious, I'm worried, I'm scared. But it was as he was anxious and worried and scared, and as things were going wrong for him, that he was able to demonstrate this incredible act of love. Church's family, things go wrong in families sometimes. They certainly went wrong in this one, 2,000 years ago almost. We will at times be anxious. We will at times be scared. When that happens, don't take it as something unusual. Jesus was able to cope with his anxiety because he knew the love of God, because he rested within that love, because that was what identified him. Most important thing about Jesus this day, not the fact that Judas is about to betray him, not the fact that Peter and the other disciples haven't got it yet, but the fact that he rests in the love of the Father. And the other thing that I want to mention before I finish, when we get to verse 31, Jesus says this, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once." That's five glories in two verses. Jesus wants us to know that he is going to the cross to be glorified. And he wants us to know that this journey of following Christ, this journey of being his family together, is a road that leads to glory. And if Peter is going to get what he needs to do, yes, he needs to understand that he's got to do the foot washing stuff. But he needs to see something of the glory that he is going to. That's why we sing worship songs on Sundays, to try and open up our hearts to the incredible glory that there is for us. And Jesus says, if you want to experience the glimpses of that glory now, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another, even as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And we get glimpses of that incredible glory that one day we will see. And in seeing that glory, it transforms what we think down here. So yes, do grab the Hoover after the service, not all of you. But focus upon that glory. Focus on that incredible love that our Father in heaven has for us, that Jesus, his Son, has for us, that the Holy Spirit gives to us. Because that's what makes us family together. Let's pray. Father, your words spoken through your Son, that we should love each other as he has loved us, are strong words. But Father, thank you that it is about receiving your love to pass on to each other. So Father, now we would receive that love. Now we would gasp again at the Jesus who laid down his life for us. So Lord, we pray that you would encourage us today. We pray that we would get a glimpse of the glory that is to come. Lord, we pray that you would cleanse us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.